In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums.
C-R-I-M-E-W-A-V. You're rolling with the Crime Wave, the internet's first and only podcast devoted to the crime short story. I'm Seth Harwood, your host, the first name in crime podcast fiction, and I'm ready to bring you this week's story. The Crime Wave is produced by Mystery Dog, Aldo Calcagno, and it is not safe for your minivans. That means it might contain swearing, violence, and all types of shit.
This week, we're featuring a story from Keith Rawson off of the website Darkness Before the Dawn. The title of Keith's story is A Quiet Moment of Reflection. I think this is one you're going to enjoy. To find out more about Keith, you can visit him at his website, bloodyknuckles.callousfingertips.blogspot.com.
Come on, motherfucker! Uncuff me and get this asshole off of me!
The girl's voice is nails on the blackboard. Not that I could blame the panic, she's handcuffed to a radiator with 300 pounds of dead man resting in between her legs.
Come on! Come on, he's still in me, please! He's still in me!
I'm sure the girl has had worse lays than my headless, stillworm ex-partner. I know this because I've seen Paul naked more times than I care to admit. And trust me, the boy was definitely packing. Of course, I imagine most of her former fuck buddies, although I'm sure not as well as endowed as Paul, were in possession of fully functioning skulls that didn't leak blood all over her glorious surgically enhanced tits. I need a minute to zone out. Just a quick second to smoke and take in my current situation with a fresher perspective. I've been gone for all of 10 minutes. Down in the bodega for a fresh pack of smokes, a couple of sandwiches, and some coffee. 10 minutes and I come back to the flop and spy Paul humping away on the girl like she's a $40 Mylar blow-up doll. Under a normal set of circumstances, I would have attempted to slip back out the door unnoticed and let the bruiser finish up his work. Not that I condone rape. Being the victim of a vicious gangbang myself, which, by the way, was headed up by Paul. This was before we got all chummy, of course, and I was just another pretty white man new to the slammer. It's just better to let a boy like Paul finish up what he's doing and get the spunk out of his thick head so he could have a coherent thought for longer than 3 seconds. But our situation was far from fucking normal. Orders were to sit on the girl until we got the call confirming that the contact had his money. After that, it was up to us what happened to the girl. But since I had the phone and no call had come from the contact, that meant me and Paul were still on the clock, and that meant do not touch the fucking girl. So instead of discreetly exiting stage right, I dropped the sandwiches and coffee, pulled my Browning and sighted down on Paul's contorted, rape-driven snarl of a face and turned it into a big red mist. If only the dumb fucker waited a little longer, a couple of hours at the most, he could have done whatever he wanted to the cunt. Hell, I might have broken off my no-force screwing policy and had a couple of around-the-worlds with her before turning her out and scrapping her remains in some lonely cornfield. But that was always Paul's problem. Patience. Paul was strictly a smash-and-grab type. Quick jobs that required muscle and not all that much in the brain cell department. But Paul was fresh out of the stir and in need of cash. He was begging me for a job. Anything to carry him for the next 6 months. Anything to keep him from getting a straight job. Hell, I was more than sympathetic. I'd been through more than my fair share of rough patches. Shit, I even had to do a stretch peddling used cars before a solid caper finally came my way. Plus, I'd known Paul for over 10 years. Most of the Brotherhood tattoos decorating Paul's massive frame were tapped into his flesh by my hand. Not that either one of us was racist. In the real world, money was green no matter who handed it over. But inside, you were either dead or fucked within a week if you didn't join up with one of those racially charged gentlemen's clubs. And besides, the contract for the girl was a sweet deal. Not exactly a two-man gig, but the cash was enough to split down the middle, or at the very least, 75-25. Job was simple enough. Snatch the girl, sit on her, and once the contact had the money, pump and dump. I thought even Paul could handle a job so shockingly simple. The only major issue was the gram. Girl was high profile. An entertainment industry heiress who liked hitting the clubs and enjoyed pretending she was an actress-slash-model-slash-singer, but lacked the basic skills necessary to pursue any of those endeavors. What the girl truly excelled at was spending the family fortune, and handling brand-name pharmaceuticals like they were M&Ms, and acting as a human condom to any cock worth more than $20 million. It was rare that she was even ever alone. Caravan of scumbag photogs were typically tailing her like eager puppies. And Daddy loved her enough to provide her with gun-toting monkey men of the failed football player species. You know the type. 6'5" steroid freaks who look good in the spotlight as their client's shadow, but would crawl into the fetal position and whine like little girls as soon as they saw a gun. But the girl was smart. She didn't like Daddy's giants following her around all the time, so 5 days out of seven she would get them drunk, or laid, or a combination of the two, and then she would sneak off with one of her third-generation wealthy boyfriends to go down and score a couple of pipefuls of crack, then spend about 8 or 9 hours sucking on two different kinds of dicks. And that's when and where I decided to grab her. Just as her and some shit-heel with a vintage Porsche and a trust fund pulled up to the girl's favorite corner man. Luckily, the contact had provided detailed information on the girl's nightly movements, so all Paul and I had to do was sit around and wait for her to pop up. I held the Browning on the faggot boyfriend and the dealer, and Paul grabbed the girl. The dealer was smart. He faded back into his alley. That bitch wasn't anything to him, just another $50 sale. The trust fund tried puffing on his shallow chest and pulling that do-you-know-who-I-am bullshit. I opened him up right above the right eye with my piece. That shut him the fuck up quick and caused him to ruin the leather driver's seat of his car. Paul's job was a little bit more of a struggle. The little bitch played right into the stereotype of the raging female. Hissing, spitting, all fingernails and attempted shots to the groin. She was pissed. And I couldn't quite figure if it was because we were grabbing her or because she wasn't scoring any crack tonight. After a couple minutes of her bullshit, Paul had enough and gave her a stiff elbow to the jaw. I should have known right then and there he was going to be trouble when I saw his eyes after the tussle with the girl. Glassy, bug-eyed wonder, his face slick and shiny, a noticeable bulge in his jeans. Of course, all this was hindsight. At the time, all I was concerned about was getting the girl into the van and back to the flop. It was only a matter of minutes before the photogs caught back up with her. The flop the contact provided for us was a couple blocks away from the grab site. Typical flea bag, run down and populated by tenants who mind their own business or were too old to care and simply turned their TVs way up to deafening volumes any time there was trouble. The place was bare bones. No furniture except for a couple of hard folding chairs, an ancient card table, and a crystal ashtray that added just the slightest hint of elegance to our surroundings. No TV, no radio, no landline, nothing to connect us to the outside except for the prepaid cell phone I kept on me at all times for when the call came. We kept the girl handcuffed to the radiator, eyes and mouth duct taped. She slept most of the time, either from the stress of the situation, or this was the first time in years, perhaps in her entire life, when she was forced to sit in one spot for longer than 10 minutes. When she was awake, she did the usual hostage thing. Cried a lot, pled a little through her gag. Not that either of us could understand her. It was all dentist chair mumbles. I stayed on top of the news of the grab when I went out for food. The story, as expected, spread fast. The Post ran the grab on the front page for 3 days straight. Interviews with the cops, the parents, the crackhead boyfriend. A whore in the inner city was the headline, and the boyfriend, or whatever the little pussy was to the girl, sobbed like a fairy about what he had to endure. The cops, according to the paper, cops didn't have a clue, which didn't really mean all that much. Cops were a fountain of disinformation when it came to the media. But after 3 days, there were no sirens screaming down the street, no blinding strobes of red and blue lights, there was no pounding at the door demanding to open up or they were going to knock it down. A minute of quiet reflection is up. I toss my butt in the carpet and grind it out with my heel, instead of snuffing it into the overflowing ashtray. I stash my piece behind my back and walk over to what's left of Paul and the still very, very freaked out girl. The two of them were still joined at the hip, and the girl is slick with Paul's blood, her once perfectly coiffed blonde hair now matted and clumpy with brain tissue. It's like modern art, and I take a couple of seconds to admire the contrast and shadow. Well, not really. It's just the shit coming out of this girl's mouth is making me want to fall down with a case of the giggles. I finally managed to muscle Paul's weight off of her and drag his big fat ass over into a corner of the flop a few feet away from her. I'm bent over hacking and trying to catch my breath when the cell chirps a couple of times. I pull from the inside pocket of my coat and answer.
Yeah? It's done. Your fee will be transferred within 15 minutes.
I hang up and pocket it again. Stupid bastard, Paul. You just couldn't wait it out like a normal person. I collect myself for a couple of more seconds, making sure my heart rate is calm and my breath is nice and even. I walk over to the girl. I pull out the Browning. It's primed and ready. I draw down on her and inch the hammer back. Paul lived for the chance to put his cock in anything warm, slick, and struggling. For me, sex just doesn't do the trick. For me, it's those 2 or 3 seconds when you've lined up the sights on your target and their eyes go big and watery with fear. Yeah. Yeah. I know. It's cliche as all fucking get out. But what can I say? I am what I am. The girl's keeping me waiting, though, and I'm starting to get a little pissed. My anticipation is so heavy I don't notice the flop's door click and swing open. I don't notice the warm body behind me. I only notice when the girl starts throwing off a big, throaty laugh, her eyes focused over my shoulder. I half turn, and the faggot boyfriend from the grab puts a bullet in my brain. Fucking shitty 9mm. The slug doesn't even kill me. It just bounces around and turns my brain into a soupy gray and pink jello. If somehow my now useless body is discovered, I'll spend the rest of my very limited existence wearing a diaper and watching shitty daytime television. Hopefully I'll just bleed out.
In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums!
Thank you for listening to The Crime Wave. I'm your host, Seth Harwood. I hope you'll check out the rest of the stories here on Crime Wave and tell your friends about it. It's the CRIMEWAV. Help pass the word, register at our site so that you can participate in the forums and add comments to the episodes. You can email us with questions or comments at info@crimewave.com. Aldo, the mystery dog, and I will get your email and we'll get back to you right quick. You can also call the K7 line, 206-350-4998, to leave comments or feedback. And if you leave a great message, we'll even play it at the end of a show. So drop a line, hop on the website, visit often, spread the word, and thank you for stopping by The Crime Wave.
Get trusted.